Hi, this is Growing Up Aspen, Joiner's Table Podcast with Andy Collin and Chris Pomeroy. And today we're joined with Lisbeth O'Dane. You know, that was another thing too. There was a time, there was a bunch of families that adopted folks, Mensmers, you know, it was yep. A bunch of that. It was interesting growing up in a small town, and I mean, yeah. You only get five families that do it. There's a lot of people, you know?
Exactly. Well, in the case of the Simons, it was sister, I think there was two of them, but Jeff for sure came and lived with Bob and Kay.
Wow. See, these are stories I never heard, I never knew. And now that with Mr. Simons, it gives me a big insight into him a little bit more, you know? It's interesting. I mean, it's like George just opened up the chest and just let us know his past, you know? And in a way, we all respected him for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. One of the fun things that is probably, and I was thinking about unique memories that I would have that are unique to me, is growing up next to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And particularly in the 70s, the early 70s, after things had shut down with Vietnam, if there had to be an air evac, it was a Huey that came in.
Oh, wow.
And I learned to hear, because they would come up from across Hunter Creek.
Yeah.
So where our house was right at the base of Hunter Creek. So I would hear that flop, 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 unique sound of a Huey coming. My dad could be doing whatever he was, and I'd go and tell my dad, I'm like, there's a Huey coming in. So my nickname got to be Radar in my house.
Radar O'Reilly. They're coming.
Because I could hear the helicopters coming in. But when the helicopters weren't there, of course it wasn't. It was this big open space that was basically connected to my front yard without any kind of fence or anything else like that.
Oh, wow. So you could literally see it.
The heliport was an extension of my yard. And I learned how to ride a bicycle on the H of the heliport.
That's awesome.
Because it was a nice, flat, open space.
Yeah.
And it's also where I learned to do donuts in my car. Was on the Hellcat at the hospital.
Mine was buttermilk parking lot.
There you go. But I mean, who can say they learned how to do donuts on a helipad where 10 minutes earlier a Huey had just landed?
That's funny.
But that was super interesting. Used to be. And I think it hits me more now. I just got done binge watching Magnum PI.
Uh-huh.
And of course, a lot of that transitions from Vietnam.
Yeah.
And then it inspired me to listen to his book, which I did. And there was a lot of recollections of his service in Vietnam, as well as his friends that went off. And it really made me think about how that affected our generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our parents, I don't know the age group of your parents, but my parents were both World War II.
My parents were kids in World War II. So they,
okay.
or Korea,
they were raised during all that stuff.
Right. And my dad was old enough to be deployed to Korea.
Yes.
But he got a deferment because he was in medical school. No, backwards. I'm going backwards. He was old enough to go to World War II.
Wow.
But he got a deferment because he was in medical school. So then when Korea came up, he got called in and was in a MASH unit in Korea.
Wow. Wow. Hey, what did he think of MASH, the TV show? That was like my family's favorite show.
It hit too close to home for him.
Oh, really? Wow.
He couldn't watch it.
Wow.
What I didn't realize until much later was he had PTSD from it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Dave
talks about George all the time where it took a while. And now that he's with Kathy, it's like, oh my God, he's
such a difference.
And kids, it's like, man, he is just a changed person. It's pretty amazing to see, you know?
And I never knew that my dad had PTSD. It never showed up.
Yeah.
But he's like, the humor is irreverent. We didn't have fun like that. It wasn't funny. There was nothing funny about Korea.
Right.
And then there was the MASH exhibit at the Smithsonian. And one year for Ex-Ed, we had the opportunity. Somehow my parents got me out of Ex-Ed because we were able to go to Washington, D.C. And my parents were able to get me in. We were able to do all this really amazing stuff in D.C. Mm-hmm. with senators and whatnot. And we went to the Smithsonian Museum, which had a MASH exhibition there. And he really didn't want to go through, but we talked about it. And he finally said, okay. And I'll never forget it. It's as clear as a bell in my brain. And we were walking down the hallway and there were all these pictures on the side, on both sides as you were walking. And he stopped and just went white as a sheet looking at this one photo.
Wow.
He's like, that's me.
Wow. That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my
he
God.
Could tell that it was him. And I'm like, do you want the photo? He's like, absolutely not.
Wow.
I've got enough memories. And he left the exhibit. He turned around and left.
Wow. That's amazing.
And then when talk about PTSD started coming out after Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I went, oh, that's what my dad was dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But our generation, I think, was the last of a generation that had parents that had maybe been through a world war, had certainly been through Korea and Vietnam, all three of which impacted the United States in a way that Afghanistan and Iraq never did.
Right. Well, it was a completely new effect of the way people had to react and think about things at the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when all of a sudden the atom bomb is there. That's a huge marker of, oh my gosh, you know.
But even more than that, the civil service that was happening during all of those wars.
Uh-huh.
It was
America pulling together.
Exactly.
You know, buy U.S. bonds, you know, that kind of stuff. That was what, you know, funded that war.
And the USO and, you know, all these things that happened for those wars.
Right.
And the values that all of that taught us as a generation. And I look at my son, who's 19 years younger than I am. And yes, he was raised with a lot of that because he was raised in Aspen and by my parents, but he still is missing it.
Right.
And Chris, Chris, all my money, your kids are missing it. And I look around all the kids and they don't know what it was like to grow up post Vietnam and parents shell-shocked from Korea and World War I. And
well, it's a totally different world now. And, you know, it brings me back to George Burson's class. I think he was the one that clued me into this. But he was saying Vietnam was the first war that was televised.
Right.
So before, you had stories of grandpas that were brave enough to tell it. Or I shouldn't say brave. That's a terrible way to say it. But that were okay with saying it.
Yeah.
A lot of them never talked about it because it was so terrible.
Yeah.
But then here comes Vietnam and it's on the 5 o'clock news every day. And there's pictures of people getting shot in the head, and there's pictures of people being lit on fire. And, you know, all of a sudden America
and people in cages and
had to look at it and think, this is terrifying. This is horrible. What kind of a species are we? We could do this to ourselves.
Yeah. It was 9/11 every single night.
Yeah.
What, 6 years?
Yeah. 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 That's what I was going to say is that you had a kid early in life, right? Like how old were you when you had a kid? You were
19.
You were what?
19.
19. So you were young and that's kind of an interesting thing too, because being a mom at 19, that also throws a whole nother ripple into the world and experience of learning and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like, you know, it's also interesting too, is when you have a kid that's young enough, when you're that young, your later years, you tend to, it's not like your buddies, but there's, you know what I mean? There's a certain sort of connection that's a little, because you're closer, there's a little, you're still younger, it's not like you're too old, you know what I mean? Like my wife's family is generations. So she's got 7 kids and you probably got a generation with each. So her parents were my grandparents' age, her oldest sister was my mom's age, you know?
Got it.
So there was a lot of huge, it was kind of a big span in between.
Right.
And when you're close, there's not just a team thing that happens, but a connection that happens.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, growing up in Aspen in the time that we did, and that's part of why I wanted to bring up the whole Vietnam thing and the generation thing. There were people there that had been through a lot of this. And so the respect that we had for our elders,
mm-hmm.
and the older folks in town, we had our veterans, George Burson, you know, and I know there were more.
We also had a lot of Europeans that were like, oh, Europe is all screwed after World War II. Let's get out of here. And they all moved to Aspen because it was just like living in the Alps. And so we had a whole group of folks that I remember you could hear, you know, Swedish, you could hear German, you could hear French,
Austrian.
The Schlaffers and Biegers.
Yeah.
Two prime examples.
The Nostals and the
Nostals. Yep, exactly.
Yep.
And even
Pelletiers.
Yep, Pelletiers and Olivier.
Yeah,
because his Amir,
Coons,
from France.
That own the restaurant up on Buttermilk, I want to say, or Thai Hack.
That was the Andre Pelletiers. Coon. That was the Pelletiers.
No, that was Andre Coon.
Oh, okay.
They owned another one. And Roger, I think, was his younger brother. I mean, there were people from all over Europe that came there.
I felt like we grew up in sort of a eclectic petri dish of all kinds of folks, you know? And so in a way, we got a shot of the real world, but we didn't. You know what I mean? We grew up where it came to visit us, and we were stuck in our little town. So we got an eye for it. We saw it, but we didn't have to be in it all the time, you know?
And it kept things real. It kept things, we were exposed to life in very safe ways and given the opportunity to learn about things in very safe ways.
Right.
And very unsafe ways
for that matter too. But as a world as a whole, you know, when you think of just politics and our respect for life and our interest in getting out there and doing something and making a difference.
And living in nature. You're living in nature, you know?
Exactly.
the Aspen Times and the Aspen Daily News for giving us materials for our book, Growing Up Aspen, Adventures of the Unsupervised, which you can get at twistandturnpress.com and any local bookstore. Thanks.